Welcome to worship at New Hope Fellowship this morning. We're glad to be able to talk with you this morning. And today we're talking about a time for greater hope. Time for greater hope. So, have you ever felt like something was hopeless? That's a rough feeling. That's probably one of the worst feelings that any of us can imagine feeling or remember feeling. It's the thought that no matter what you do, the end result is still going to be bad. It's the worst. What kind of situations have made you feel hopeless? Some common, I guess, sources of hopelessness that we might encounter could include a chronic health problem where no one can seem to give you the answers that you need or that can help you recover or get better. Another one could be an addiction that keeps tripping you up and wreaking havoc on your life and those around you, and you just can't seem to shake it. Maybe a death that can't be stopped, especially if it's the death of someone who you have grown to depend on greatly. How about just a catastrophic failure in your own life? It seems like maybe that's something that would stick with you for a long time and might even end up defining you in a sense. Another thing could be a financial hardship, a severe financial hardship, where no matter how you do the math, none of it's going to work. Those are hard things, and they can cause hopelessness. Notice that in the midst of abundance, hope doesn't really seem all that important. Maybe that's because it's so easy to grab a hold of. We just have hope because things seem to be going well. But when things get hard, suddenly a source of hope becomes vital to our very existence. Maybe you're in the middle of one of those hard struggles. Maybe you faced a few of them, or even most of the ones I've listed. If you face something like that, what got you through it? That's a great thing to discuss after the message is, hey, what got you through that time where you didn't have hope or that things seemed so hopeless? So we're not just talking about being optimistic here. You know, singing the sun will come out tomorrow doesn't mean that the sun will come out tomorrow. Sometimes we have many cloudy days in a row, right? I mean, we have winter around here. And so we've all met people who are, let's just be honest, stupidly optimistic. But they have no good reason for it. And that doesn't really help, especially if things do get worse. And that does happen. If anyone had a right to feel hopeless, boy, it had to be Job. For the first few chapters of the book of Job, nothing goes right for the poor guy. As Job's friends try to talk to him about how quickly people perish when they turn their back on God, one of them says this to Job in Job 8:13. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the godless will perish. If you sum that verse up, you could essentially say, when we forget God, hope dies. Have you seen that to be true? Think about all the people who are trying to find hope right now, but aren't turning to God. The farther you get from God, the farther you get from hope. And the closer you get to God, it seems like the closer you get to hope. And yet, despite that, we often keep looking for other sources of hope. I think a lot of us have tried to put our hope in government. What has happened to that hope? It's either dead or dying, especially in our state. Many people today are trying to find hope in science. You know, we can figure things out. We can find a treatment. We can develop a cure. But even if we do, what will come along next that will rob us of our hope? The scientific community can't fix everything wrong in our world. We also put a lot of hope in money and stuff. You know, if I can just get that next raise, or if I can just get that next item that's going to make my life easier or better, then I'll be okay. And we all know that never actually works. No pay raise has ever made anyone comfortable for very long. So when we hope in things like that, we always end up disappointed. So what good is hope, and why would we need it now more than ever? Why is this a time for greater hope? Well, first off, hope isn't going to get you anywhere, just having hope in hope. It's kind of like having faith in faith or being in love with the idea of love. There has to be something beyond just hope that you're putting your hope in. An optimism may make you feel better for a moment, but it can only hold up so long, because you can't go through a Job-like experience where you lose everything and just stay optimistic. The book of Hebrews is where I want to focus us today, and it has some great things to teach us about the kind of hope that can change your life. The idea of hope shows up in Hebrews in several passages, and I want to walk us through a few of those and then to kind of paint a picture of the impact that biblical hope can have on your life today. The first reference we see in Hebrews is regarding a hope worth boasting about. And while people might hope that they're going to inherit money, or hope that they will get a promotion, bragging about it before it happens is typically frowned upon. We call that counting your chickens before they're hatched. Not a real good idea. I mean, sure, things are worth hoping for, but it's certainly foolish to start bragging about it before it's actually happened, because you don't know what will happen. Meanwhile, the source of Christian hope is something that we should be confidently proclaiming until the moment it finally arrives. Here's where we're at. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. And of course, Hebrews is written by Paul, and he's encouraging the believers there. He says in verse 4, "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken later. But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast to our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end." In other words, Moses was faithful in serving the people of Israel, but Christ is the faithful son who inherits his father's house, which is the church. Christ will not fail in that mission. Our hope is not in our faithfulness, which would certainly fail, but in his faithfulness. And he will be perfectly faithful. We can be absolutely confident beyond a shadow of a doubt that he will return and he will make all things right. And that's something everyone needs to know about. So boast away. It's not bragging if we're boasting in Christ. That's sharing our hope with the world. So we can boast right to the very end, because this is a hope that is realized through patient faithfulness. A hope that's realized through patient faithfulness. You know, many have gone before us and already inherited the same promises of eternal life that we are hoping for. So Paul challenges us to persist in putting our full confidence in Christ until our last breath. Listen to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish or lazy, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promises. See, you can't half-heartedly put your hope in Christ. This isn't something we can be lazy about. We can't put some of our hope in Christ and some of our hope in something else. That's being double-minded. We must be diligent until our hope is fully realized, either at Christ's return or at our stepping to the other side of eternity. For some reason this week, I kept thinking about a scene from Lord of the Rings, and I went looking for it for something else entirely, and instead I stumbled onto this scene in The Return of the King. And it's a scene where there's this battle that is so hopeless, and Mary, one of the hobbits, is totally distraught that this is the end. And he says to Gandalf, he says, "I didn't think it was going to end this way." To which Gandalf smiles and kind of laughs and has a little glint in his eye, and he says, "End? No, the journey doesn't end here. Death is just another path, one that we must all take." He then goes on to describe a heaven-like scene, but he fails to mention the presence of God, a God who loves us and that made it possible for us to take that journey by taking it before us. And that, my friends, is what Jesus did. He conquered death in victory, and that is why we can have this assurance of hope until the end, because the end is glorious. And it really isn't the end. This helps create another aspect, a hope that steadies us. A hope that steadies us. When things get rough, what keeps you from being completely destroyed in the storms of life? If you've ever faced a seemingly hopeless situation, what got you through it? I asked that question at the beginning. As we look at this next passage, Paul describes a hope that steadies us. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 20. It says, "In the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us." So, two things about God. He cannot lie, and he took an oath. A biblical oath was binding. So, to guarantee those who put their faith and hope in him that they would make it to the other side, he did these two things. And then that gives us a hope that is an anchor for us. Now, an anchor basically does two things. First, if you drop an anchor, it keeps a boat from drifting into danger. I don't know if you've ever been out on a boat in a lake or a river or a, you know, a larger even body of water, but if you aren't intentionally going somewhere, you will be unintentionally going somewhere unless you drop an anchor. Because there's current or there's wind or there's waves. And if you're not paying close attention, you can drift into dangerous waters or situations. So our hope in God anchors our soul from these drifting dangers where we don't really pay attention and suddenly we've drifted away. The second thing an anchor does is it keeps the boat steady in a storm. when you drop an anchor, it keeps that boat again from drifting, but it can also keep the nose facing a certain way or into the waves to keep it from tossing or rolling a boat and then potentially capsizing it. Likewise, our hope in God also protects us in a storm. So hope is an anchor for the soul. You know, no one wants to have their soul thrashed on the rocks and then capsized when the storms of life come. That doesn't sound fun at all. And that's why we need hope. And the greater our hope, the bigger and stronger that anchor is for us. This hope, it says in the passage, enters within the veil where Christ has already gone. So Christ removed the curtain, so to speak, of the Holy of Holies. This is no longer just a place for the priest to go and intercede, but for all of us to go and be in the presence of God. Hope that God is good and that God is for us and wants us allows us to draw near with Christ, who has washed us of our sin. So we also see that this is a hope that draws us to God. Initially, God's law showed us that we didn't measure up. That's really all it did. And how do you feel when you don't measure up? I don't know about you, but I want to run and hide when I don't measure up. But because of the new law, the law of grace, which removes our sin, we can now draw near. This is a way better hope, which causes us to run to God instead of hide from him like Adam and Eve in the garden when their sin caused them to be ashamed and they ran and hid. So Paul explains this idea in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. He says, "For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of a former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. And on the other hand, there is a bringing of a better hope through which we draw near to God." So Christ came and provided that better way, a way of grace that gives us a great hope, a future hope. So we don't have to hope in hope or hope for hope's sake. We're not just being optimistic. We have a hope in Christ. That's the real source of our hope. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Christ has made a way for our journey not to end here. Christ has made a way for us so that we don't have to experience the utter and total hopelessness of eternity without him in hell. He is faithful, and he has made a way. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that is a firm foundation that can allow us to weather any storm. It's the kind of hope we see characterized by all of those who went before us and put their faith in Christ, even before Christ had come, going all the way back to the very beginning. It is a hope that grows into bold action. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen." You know, Hebrews 11 is commonly known as the Hall of Faith. It chronicles the stories of all those who were so confident in the hope of their salvation, in the coming Messiah, that they took bold action that shaped history, biblical history. And that is why hope is so important. Hope spawns a faith that gives us the courage to be used by God. Hope spawns a faith that gives us the courage to be used by God. This is a time for greater hope. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said this of hope. He said, "Hope itself is like a star, not seen in the sunshine of prosperity, and only to be discovered in the night of adversity. The greater the darkness, the more hopeless the situation is, the brighter hope will shine. When everything is going great, many will not need a hope. But when the storms come, suddenly it is very evident just how much our soul needs an anchor. The problem is that we need hope the most when we're the least likely to have it, when things feel hopeless. When you look around, and are we ever going to see normal again? Are we going to get to hug? Will handshakes be typical or taboo? What in the world is going to happen to all the touch screens at restaurants? We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. And when our hope is in Jesus, we quickly recognize that none of that stuff really matters all that much. Those are little questions. And we've already answered the big question. What happens next? Next, we get to be with Him, and there is no need to be shaken. So I hope that you're experiencing that kind of hope, and it's causing you to live out your faith. If you aren't, I want to invite you to put your trust in Jesus Christ and in the payment that He made on the cross so that you could spend eternity with Him. That is our hope. And until your last breath, it is never too late to turn to Him. But if you can have hope now, there's also no good reason to wait. So I want to encourage you to reconnect there, or to connect there for the first time, and to begin to cultivate that hope that we find in Jesus Christ and what He is offering us in eternity. Let me pray for you. Lord God, we just pray that You will continue to draw us ever closer to You. Lord, that our hope would be built on Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that You've made on our behalf, and the promise that You've made to forgive our sins when we cry out to You in repentance. And Lord, we trust that the work that You've begun in many of us, that You're going to be faithful to complete. We trust that You're going to do that, Lord, but give us a willingness and a cooperativeness of spirit to really lean into You and to go Your way and to trust You and to follow after You. And Lord, I pray that as those who may be full of hope, maybe as a result of digesting these things, we're going, oh man, I do have a hope. Lord, help us be those who proclaim that hope to a world around us that so desperately needs it. And we just give You thanks and praise for all that You're going to do. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.